Good morning and welcome to our worship on this All Saints Sunday, November 1st. We're coming to you from Trinity Lutheran Church at 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team today is Megan McCoy, organist and music director, Aidan Hill, guest organist, Jim Cooper, cantor, Michael Devlin, lector, Ryan Devlin, assisting minister, Kevin Boatwright, our sound engineer, and today he's about to give us a stewardship minute.
Good morning. We at Trinity are coming to the close of a year full of blessings, purpose, challenge, and hope. We have come to All Saints Sunday and will soon celebrate Thanksgiving and the season of Advent. It is a time to reflect on who we are and what lies ahead for us as individuals and for this community of faith. Hymn number 576 in the ELW reminds us that we all are one in mission. We all are one in call, our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. A single great commission compels us from above to plan and work together that all may know Christ's love. In order for Trinity to plan and work together in the new year, each of us must make a commitment. Each of us must consider prayerfully the amount of regular, ongoing financial offering we will commit to sustain the day-by-day mission of this congregation. Our offerings provide for the just and regular compensation of our staff, the maintenance and improvement of our facilities, and the programs that enable us to employ our varied gifts in Trinity's many areas of ministry. Many of the expenses of our church are predictable and continuous. Our revenue needs to be equally predictable and continuous. That's why a commitment from each of us is necessary now. More important, our offerings are a prayer of thanksgiving for all we possess, and a reminder that all we have is already a gift from the God whose love possesses us and our church. If we are sincerely grateful for that abundance, we ought to show our gratitude during this season of remembrance, thanksgiving, and expectation. For many, that gratitude will include at least a 10% tithe of annual income, but that decision is up to you alone. Please consider now what you will offer to God and this church during 2021, so that we may live out our single great commission. A letter and commitment card were mailed to you recently. Today and next Sunday, we begin to receive these cards, which can also be returned by mail. Your early and generous response is appreciated.
Thank you, Kevin. We join now in confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. We keep silence for personal prayer and reflection. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance. We deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join now in our gathering hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 669, Rise Up, O Saints of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in the Glory to God on page 139.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. All this through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Revelation, 7th chapter. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times. The the praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. Exalt God's name together. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. Their trust in you will not be punished. Fear the Lord, saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing.
The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in the gospel acclamation on page 142. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. Leighton Williams, in the recent issue of Christian Century, wrote these words: I'm not sure the world has ever felt as upside down in my lifetime as it has in 2020. A global pandemic and accompanying economic crisis, political division and discord, protests for justice and a better world for all people, and every week it seems a new catastrophe, a news story or several, that causes us to roll our eyes and think, now this. Remember a year ago? Life included parties, happy hours, travel. Its more mundane activities included public transit, work days in the office, going to church, shopping for groceries, picking the kids up from school and hugging people. The world is gone now. Every single one of these elements of normal life has been disrupted, destroyed, or turned on its head. The world we inhabit now is strange, unfamiliar, and scary. We don't know what the future will hold or how long this season of upheaval and uncertainty will last. In another one of Leighton Williams' musings, he wrote, throughout my life, I have often used the word anchors to describe those things in my life that keep me feeling grounded and steady and safe. It might be friends or family or a sense of purpose or even just a neighborhood that feels like home. Often I won't realize how much something is an anchor for me until it's gone. But seasons when I feel unmoored always align with the loss of an anchor or several anchors. We are living in a season of immense upheaval. So many anchors have been lost that we cannot keep track. What are the anchors in your life? What are the anchors that keep you centered and focused? And how many of the anchors in your life have you lost? As I was thinking about this, I remembered a scene in a streetcar in San Francisco from several years ago. You know, when you visit a city and you just drive through it or drive by it, you don't see it the same way you do when you get on a bus or a streetcar or walk the city streets. I had been on one of those sort of sightseeing days, riding the streetcar everywhere, and I was people watching and daydreaming, and when all of a sudden, right in front of me, I saw a young girl. And I looked at her and I said, is she homeless? Yeah, perhaps. Depressed? Maybe. On drugs? Possibly. Frightened eyes, dirty clothes, a pair of jeans clutched in her hands, a dirty canvas bag on her shoulder, a worn, battered purse held close to her chest. She was also wearing a very baggy pair of sweatpants that she kept clutching at her waist to keep them from falling off. And as I looked at her, I wondered what I could do to help. What offer of solace and hope could I give to her? As I thought about her as I was writing this week, after I read the piece by Leighton Williams, the piece with words about anchors, I thought she was totally without an anchor. As I looked at her lonely face, I remembered the words that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I wondered, could that be an anchor for some place that this young girl could call home? Would those words, had I said them to her, would they have helped? Going back to that day again, I wondered, as I looked at her face and straggly black hair, her pasty white face, and I wondered how many people had judged her. I wondered if I had judged her. And then I wondered, who am I to know how much God loves all of those who are broken and helpless and hopeless? Who am I to judge how much God loves me? Recently, I had a similar scene in Lawrence, Kansas, on the street, Mass Street, Massachusetts. I was walking down the street, and I watched an older, bearded man going through a trash can. He picked up a McDonald's cup from the trash and drank from it. It must have been some sort of milkshake because the contents spilled as some went in his mouth and some on his beard. And I walked up to him and I tried a conversation, but he wouldn't make eye contact. So I did what I always do. I gave him some money and wished him well, and I said a prayer. Wasn't quite sure what to pray for. But again, is this man covered by the words of the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Could that have become an anchor for this man? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and one of his writings, speculated that all of theology could be summed up in the Sermon on the Mount and Matthew 25, where the goats and the sheep are separated. And perhaps we could add the Hebrews passage about entertaining angels unawares, because sometimes when we're out every day in our ordinary lives doing the things that we normally do, we miss the fact that all of these stories that surround us are examples of the presence of God. There's no difference between the streets of Lawrence and the streets of San Francisco. Both places are filled with people, and people are filled with God's love and God's presence. There was a moment in time when I was apprehensive about being the pastoral care pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Lawrence, Kansas. I was apprehensive because some of the folks here knew me, and that could be a problem. And then I was reflecting on my first year here, and I thought about all of the deaths that occurred and the funerals. And I thought, each one of those people was an anchor for this community, for their church, for their families. This week I thought a lot about those who have died in this past year, whose names we will read today. They were also anchors. They were touchstones that held the church in place. As I thought about that, I returned again to the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." As I said those words, half whispered and half out loud, I thought, blessedness is what the presence of God is all about right here, right now in Lawrence, Kansas, at a church called Trinity on a street called New Hampshire. When I remembered that streetcar ride in San Francisco, I connected to the reality that we are all one in our humanity. As Trinity Lutheran Church mourns the loss of some of its older and pillar members, as they mourn the loss of in-person worship and the faces of family and friends that they regularly would see on Sunday morning, What they have in store for them is to be blessed. God in Christ is always there to be an anchor. Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk, Roman Catholic theologian, died too young, was one of my theological mentors when I was in college and searching for my own way. And he wrote a piece in the Seven Story Mountain when he said, in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all of these people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of isolation in a special world where we all belong together. The scene he described was at a place in Louisville where it was sort of a merger of a restaurant district, a bit of the inner city, and the theater district. So on this particular night, when he stood looking out at this sea of humanity, there were people in tuxedos, there were women wearing fine furs, there were prostitutes on the street corners, there were people coming out of the restaurants, and there was every color and every shape and every size of humanity. He said, then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts. The depth of their hearts where neither sin nor desire nor self-knowledge can reach. The core of their reality. The person that each one of them is in God's eyes. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time. There would be no more war or hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. But this cannot be seen, only believed and understood by a very peculiar gift. The words of the Beatitudes echo in my mind's eye, and they serve as a guide for our life together. And in the process of this transition, as we prepare to welcome a new pastor. We've all lost anchors this past year. We've all lost anchors in our lives. And it's very difficult when we reach out to grab onto those touchstones of being grounded and focused, and they're not there. My wife died 2 years ago, and I still miss the fact that she was my anchor. So how do we approach living out this life in the pandemic? In the life of Trinity Lutheran Church in the days ahead, we need to be governed by the words of Christ. We need to hear the wonder of what He is saying to us about the roles we play in the life of this church. We need the meek and those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, a righteousness of God that only we can offer. We need the pure of heart that speak those gentle words when they need to be spoken, because they are seeing God and are hearing what God is calling us to be. We need the peacemakers who are always among us, making time to listen to everyone so that everyone is heard in a spirit of peace. So on this All Saints Sunday, we need to remember that we as Trinity Lutheran Church are blessed by God. We need to hear those words, blessed are you, Trinity Lutheran Church, and that blessedness is our anchor now and in the days ahead. And in that blessedness, we become anchors for others as well. Amen.
On this All Saints Sunday, we remember the following saints of this faith community: Pastor Donald Conrad. Dale Creed. Evelyn Elliott. Evelyn Flessner. Mark Holmberg. Mildred Lukin. Ruth Ann Polk. Ruth Riggins. Richard Schaefer. John Wilkinson. Our service continues with the hymn of the day, Evangelical Lutheran Worship, hymn number 422, For All the Saints. Our service continues with the Apostles' Creed found in your Evangelical Lutheran Worship Hymnals, page 105. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On a third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Lord of all the saints, we praise you for evangelists and martyrs whose sacrifices witness to your gospel across time and space. Inspire us by their courage to carry our faith to new people and places around us. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of every place, the universe proclaims your greatness from generation to generation. Bless the work of naturalists, conservationists, and park rangers who train our attention to the wonders of the world. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of every nation, guide this country. Red states and blue states, rural voters and urban voters, young and old, as we share in another national election. Kindle hearts eager to understand our common needs and seek our common good. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of every blessing, your Son's blessing came to those living with poverty, grief, hunger, thirst, and persecution. Shape our vision of the saints to match his own. Awaken in us your call to serve all who suffer. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of every venture, anoint us with the missionary spirit of the early church. Bless all new missions of our synod. Empower testimony from new communities of faith to shape a diverse witness to your saving power. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of every time, countless are the multitudes you have called by name and gathered to yourself. Comfort us as we grieve those who have died in the past year. In faith, we may join with them in ceaseless praise. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we pause and we wish for and exchange the peace of Christ with everyone. The peace of Christ be with you always. We join now in singing our offering hymn, ELW 695, As Saints of Old.
Thank you.
We continue our worship as we begin our communion liturgy, and I would encourage you all to find some bread and wine or some grape juice, for in a few moments I will say the words, take and eat, and take and drink, and we will share the body of Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, when the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from the evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This bread, this wine are God's gifts to us on this day. We join now in singing Lamb of God on page 146. We join now in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 421, By All Your Saints.
Oh,
And now with the bread and wine, bread and grape juice, share those gifts with each other, saying the words, "Take and eat the body of Christ." And now take and drink the blood of Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey, strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children, and give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
And now on this All Saints Sunday, receive the benediction. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give each of you reason to rejoice and be glad. And may the blessings of God, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, be with us today and always. Amen. We conclude our worship with our sending hymn, "Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones," ELW 424.
Go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.